All right, so get ready, because today we are going deep on some really interesting stuff.
Okay.
It's about biblical interpretation.
Right.
We've got excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Bill Mounce.
Okay.
He's like a major Greek scholar,
Yeah.
and he really digs into the Sermon on the Mount,
Cool.
specifically Matthew 5.31 onwards.
Hmm.
That's where you get into divorce, honesty, oaths, and like the whole love your enemies thing.
Right.
Prepare to get your mind blown with some serious linguistic debates, surprising takes on some familiar stories, and like some seriously thought-provoking questions about, applying ancient wisdom to modern life.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how relevant these ancient texts still are.
Totally.
Dr. Mounce really gets that.
Oh, yeah, for
But
sure.
one of the things that's so cool about his approach is that he doesn't just explain what the text says. He
Right.
really like dives into the complexities of translation
Oh, interesting.
and shows how like our understanding of language, especially how much it's evolved, it totally shapes how we interpret those ancient texts,
Absolutely.
you know?
Yeah.
And he jumps right into that with the challenges that modern Bible translators are facing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about it.
Yeah.
How much has English
Oh,
changed
my gosh. So much.
just in our lifetime, let alone over centuries?
I know.
Dr. Mounce uses the example of they as a singular pronoun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're seeing that everywhere
All
now.
the time?
He
Yeah.
even mentioned his own daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a PhD student.
Wow.
And she told him about the pronoun Z.
She.
Yeah, Z.
Yeah, never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's gaining traction. I've even seen it in like academic journals and stuff.
Oh.
So, like, what are the implications of these new pronouns for translating a text as influential as the Bible?
That's a great question.
Right. It's this
Yeah.
constant balancing act.
Right.
You want to stay true to the original Greek, but
Yeah.
then you also want the translation to resonate with people today.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounce highlights this tension with the controversy surrounding the TNIV translation,
Oh, yeah.
which tried to address some of these gender-related issues,
Right.
but it faced a lot of pushback.
It did. Yeah.
Interestingly, he was initially a critic of the TNIV, but then he later joined the NIV committee
Oh, wow.
to help create a new revision that aimed for both accuracy and readability.
So it's a tough job.
It is.
It's not just about swapping out words.
Yeah.
There's like a whole
Oh, my.
cultural and linguistic context to think about.
Absolutely.
And speaking of cultural context,
Okay.
this leads us to a story you're probably familiar with.
Okay.
Ehud and King Eglon from the Book of Judges.
Uh-huh.
I always pictured Eglon as well, a rather large fellow.
Right, and that's where cultural assumptions can really trip us up.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so Dr. Mounce points out that the Hebrew word that's often translated as fat in this story,
Okay.
it actually describes a strong and powerful warrior.
Wait a minute. So Eglon wasn't fat like we think of it.
Not necessarily.
That changes the whole picture.
Exactly.
Wow.
He was likely like a really formidable figure,
Huh.
which makes what Ehud did even more audacious.
Yeah.
And you know, this isn't just like a fun fact or whatever. It shows how relying solely on translations without considering the original language
Right.
and its cultural context can lead to some big
Oh, for
misunderstandings,
sure.
you know?
Yeah, big time.
Okay, so
Go.
let's get back to the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay, sounds good.
Dr. Mounce goes deep on the divorce passage in Matthew 5, specifically that infamous exception clause
Yeah.
about sexual immorality.
It feels like everyone has a different interpretation of what that even means
Right.
and how it applies today.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Well, Dr. Mounce argues that the main point of the passage isn't about banning divorce in every single situation,
Right.
but more about emphasizing how serious the commitment of marriage is.
Okay.
He even shares a story about a friend of his who, even though his wife was unfaithful,
Wow.
refused to divorce her.
Really?
Yeah.
That's intense.
He believed it went against his vow before God.
Wow. Talk about commitment.
I know.
But how do we apply that kind of teaching to modern life
Right.
with all the complexities of relationships today?
Yeah,
What is
it's
that?
tough. Well, Dr. Mount seems to be advocating for a more nuanced approach.
Okay.
He acknowledges the potential harm that divorce can cause,
Right.
but also recognizes that sometimes it might be the most loving or
Yeah.
even just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He even suggests expanding what we understand sexual immorality to be
Oh, really?
to encompass other actions that violate the marital covenant.
That's
You
interesting.
know, like
Yeah.
it's not just about adultery, it's
Well,
about anything that breaks that sacred bond.
so it's not about rigid rules.
Right.
It's about understanding the heart of the teaching.
Exactly.
Which brings us to another challenging concept from the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
Honesty.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounts doesn't hold back here.
Oh, no.
He calls for what he calls rigorous honesty.
Rigorous honesty.
Yeah.
I like that.
In all our interactions, he uses this awesome example of Ray Kroc.
Oh, yeah.
The founder of McDonald's.
Right.
Who famously never signed a contract.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
His word was his bond.
That's amazing.
And think about it.
Okay.
Could we be like that? Could we build a reputation where our word is enough?
It's a challenge, for sure.
It's a big challenge.
Especially in a world so obsessed with contracts and legalities.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if we've lost something.
Yeah.
In our pursuit of getting it in writing.
Right.
Dr. Mounts also points out how we often use loopholes or like ambiguous language to avoid being totally truthful.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know I do that sometimes.
We all do.
Especially when I don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right.
He even shared a funny story about his own family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his sister and mother had this whole system for unwanted suitors.
Okay.
If a guy called and his sister wasn't interested,
right,
she'd slip out the back door.
Sneaky.
While her mom would tell the caller.
Okay.
She's not here right now.
Oh, that's funny.
Technically true.
Right.
But not exactly rigorously honest.
Not quite.
Right.
It's funny, but it does highlight how we bend the truth.
Yeah.
Even in those small ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Dr. Mounts challenges us to examine our communication patterns and ask ourselves, are we really committed to honesty?
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially then.
But what about those situations where, like, telling the whole truth could cause harm or betrayal? Does rigorous honesty have limits?
That's a good question.
You know,
Dr. Mounts actually addresses that directly.
Oh, does he?
He argues that there are times when we're not obligated to divulge everything, especially if it puts someone at risk. He uses the example of Samuel, who was instructed by God to only tell a partial truth.
Oh.
To avoid danger.
So it's complicated. Sometimes you need wisdom and discernment.
You got it.
Speaking of challenging teachings, Dr. Mounts really pushes us with the concept of loving our enemies.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
This feels like one of the hardest things Jesus asks of us.
It is.
It's so hard.
And he's very upfront about that.
Yeah.
This kind of love, it doesn't come naturally.
It really doesn't.
It's not about like warm, fuzzy feelings.
Right.
We're pretending everything is okay when it's not.
Yeah.
It's about a much deeper
transformation
of the heart.
Dr. Mounts shared this really powerful quote from Augustine.
Oh, yeah.
That really stuck with me.
What was it?
He said, "Many have learned how to offer the other cheek, but do not know how to love him by whom they were struck."
Wow.
That really got me thinking.
Yeah.
It's easy to go through the motions, but true love requires more than just outward actions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about cultivating a heart of compassion and forgiveness.
Even toward those who have hurt us.
Even then,
And that's where Dr. Mounts' next point gets really interesting.
Okay.
He suggests that the only way to truly love our enemies is to first understand how deeply God loves us, despite all our flaws.
That's a powerful idea.
And failings.
It is.
That's where we'll pick it up.
Okay.
In the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Dr. Bill Mounts' lecture on the Sermon on the Mount.
It's good to be back.
We left off talking about this radical idea of loving our enemies.
Right.
But before we get too deep into that, Dr. Mounts makes this really fascinating point about how we view sin, which I think is super key to understanding the rest of what he's saying.
Okay, I'm interested.
So what's so insightful is that Dr. Mounts doesn't, like, shy away from those tough questions about human nature and sin.
Yeah.
He kind of challenges us to think critically about how we categorize and even rank different sins. And it really forces us to confront our own biases and blind spots.
Yeah, I can see how that would be uncomfortable for some people.
Totally.
To have to look in the mirror like that.
Yeah, he even makes this super bold statement that if he had to choose between preaching to a group of gay or divorced people versus a group of gossips, he would choose the former without hesitation.
That's a strong statement.
I know. I was pretty surprised when I heard him say that.
Yeah, I can see why.
Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Sure. So his argument is that gossip while it's often overlooked, is actually incredibly destructive.
Okay.
You know, it tears down relationships,
right,
destroys trust,
yeah,
and just undermines unity within,
yeah,
a community.
Yeah.
And he says often those who engage in gossip do it under this cloak of righteousness, you know, judging others while remaining completely oblivious to their own faults.
That's so true.
He uses this really powerful image to illustrate this point.
What is it?
He asks, have you ever seen a church torn apart by the homosexual movement or adultery? But have you ever seen God's body torn apart by gossip?
Wow. That's a stark contrast.
It is, right?
It's kind of hard to argue with that.
And it's a sobering reminder, I think,
yeah,
that even seemingly small sins,
yeah,
can have some seriously devastating consequences.
Right.
And he really urges us,
uh-huh,
to address our own judgmental tendencies and our own self-righteousness,
yeah,
before we start pointing fingers at other people.
It's good to remember that we're all flawed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We're all in need of grace.
We are.
So where does that leave us with that whole idea of, like, loving the sinner, hating the sin?
Right.
Dr. Mount seems to have kind of controversial take on that phrase.
Okay, what's his take?
Well, he points out that while it's well-intentioned, the phrase, loving the sinner, hating the sin,
mm-hmm,
sort of implies that we can separate the two.
Yeah.
Like, neatly.
Mm.
And he says, that's just not possible.
Right. You can't, uh-huh, really have one without the other. It's, yeah, all part of the same package.
He even quotes another scholar who says God hates both.
Whoa.
Meaning both the sin and the sinner.
Okay. That's a really tough concept to grapple with.
It is.
How does Dr. Mounts reconcile that,
yeah,
with God's love and mercy?
Right.
It seems contradictory.
Well, it's a profound point for sure. Yeah. So Dr. Mounts explains that God, in his perfection,
mm-hmm,
is actually capable of both perfect love.
Okay.
And perfect hatred.
Mm.
He hates sin with this, like, righteous anger.
Right.
Yet at the same time, loves the sinner.
Yeah.
And desires their redemption.
That's deep.
It's like holding two totally opposite truths at the same time.
It is.
So how does this understanding of God's hatred of sin,
yeah,
like, how does that impact how we approach our own shortcomings,
mm,
and the shortcomings of other people?
It's a good question.
You know,
it challenges us to take sin seriously, I think, both in our own lives, right, and in the lives of those around us.
Uh-huh.
And it's not about being, like, harsh or judgmental.
Right.
But it's about recognizing the truly destructive nature of sin.
Yeah.
And recognizing the need for God's grace.
Right.
To break free from its grip.
It's like finding that balance,
yeah,
between acknowledging the reality of sin.
Uh-huh.
Without losing sight of God's love,
right,
and forgiveness.
Yeah, it's a tough balance.
So this brings us to another super fascinating part of Dr. Mounts' lecture.
Okay.
The cultural backdrop of the Sermon on the Mount.
Hmm.
This is where we see how Jesus' teachings were both radical.
Okay.
And also, like, deeply rooted in the Jewish tradition of his time.
Right.
So Dr. Mounts reminds us, mm, that Jesus wasn't just, like, laying out some abstract moral principles.
Yeah.
He was talking to a very specific audience.
Right.
People who were very familiar with the law of Moses.
Right.
And the teachings of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Dr. Mounts points out,
okay,
that Jesus often challenged how people were interpreting those teachings.
Oh, interesting.
Like, he was pushing his listeners,
okay,
to move beyond just a legalistic understanding,
yeah,
of the law.
Right.
Toward a deeper, more, like, heart-centered approach to righteousness.
I like that.
Take, for example, the eye for an eye principle.
Okay.
From the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Traditionally, people saw this as a way to limit retaliation.
Right.
Make sure the punishment fit the crime.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus kind of takes it a step further.
Okay.
He's calling for something way more radical.
Oh, wow.
He urges his followers to resist retaliation altogether.
Hmm.
Even when they've been wronged.
That's tough.
It's so hard to turn the other cheek.
It is.
When you've been hurt.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what made Jesus' message so radical.
Right.
Especially at that time.
Yeah.
Like, under Roman occupation.
Right.
The Jewish people were living under this super oppressive rule. It was brutal.
And a lot of them wanted a Messiah.
Right.
Who would overthrow their oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus offered a different kind of kingdom.
Okay. What did he offer?
He called for this, like, revolution of the heart.
Mm.
A reorientation of values that really challenged the very foundation of Roman power.
Wow.
And the worldview of the time.
That's huge.
And this is where the idea of exceeding righteousness comes into play.
Okay.
Jesus wasn't just calling for people to follow the rules.
Right.
He was calling for something way higher.
Mm.
A way of life that went beyond those legalistic interpretations.
Yeah.
And really reflected the heart of God.
So exceeding righteousness isn't about being perfect.
No.
Or like earning God's favor.
Not at all.
Okay.
It's about becoming more like Christ.
Right.
Letting his love and grace transform us. And empower us to live in a way that really embodies God's kingdom here and now.
That sounds beautiful, but how do we actually do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful concept.
Yeah, but putting it into practice can feel kind of daunting.
It can.
So luckily, Dr. Maltz gives us some really practical insights.
Oh, good.
Into how we can actually apply these teachings to our modern lives.
I like practical advice.
He acknowledges that it's not always easy.
Yeah.
Living out these teachings can be tough.
For sure.
Even painful sometimes.
Right.
But he doesn't offer any like simple solutions or easy answers.
Okay.
Instead, he encourages us to really wrestle with the complexities, to seek God's guidance as we navigate all the messy realities of human relationships.
So it sounds like he's advocating for an approach to faith that's honest and vulnerable.
Exactly.
And he stresses that exceeding righteousness isn't about reaching some impossible standard of moral perfection.
No, not at all.
It's about surrendering our selfish desires.
Right.
And really embracing a way of life that prioritizes love.
Yeah. And the well-being of others.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to another key point that Dr. Mounts makes about how interconnected our beliefs and actions really are.
Yeah.
He argues that the Sermon on the Mount isn't just a list of ethical guidelines.
Okay.
It's a reflection of our transformed hearts.
So true.
He really emphasizes that true righteousness comes from a deep understanding of God's love and grace.
Right.
Not from trying to earn favor or impress other people with how good we are.
It's about the heart.
Yeah, it's about aligning our actions with our inner beliefs.
Mm.
Understanding that real transformation starts in the heart.
And that leads us to the final section of Dr. Maltz's lecture.
Okay.
Where he tackles this whole concept of discipleship.
Right.
Like, what does it really mean
to
be a follower of Jesus?
That's where we'll pick up in the last part of our deep dive. Okay, so we're back for the last part of our deep dive into Dr. Bill Mounds' lecture on the Sermon on the Mount.
It's been a great conversation so far.
It has, right?
So much to think about.
Yeah, we've covered so much ground. But now we're getting to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what does it actually mean to be a disciple of Jesus?
Right.
How do we actually take these radical teachings and live them out in a world that, like, often feels like it's pushing back against them?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
Well, Dr. Mounts is very honest about the challenges of discipleship.
Okay.
He acknowledges that it's not easy to follow Jesus.
Right.
It takes sacrifice,
humility,
and often requires us to go against the grain of what's popular or comfortable.
Totally. It's like that saying, you know, if being a Christian was easy, everyone would do it.
Exactly.
But seriously, Dr. Mounts doesn't shy away from the fact that Jesus himself warned his followers about facing persecution and rejection.
Right. It comes with the territory.
He doesn't sugarcoat it.
No, he doesn't.
But he also emphasizes the incredible joy and fulfillment that comes from really knowing and following Christ.
It's not all doom and gloom.
No.
He presents discipleship not as a burden.
Okay.
But like as a profound privilege.
Wow.
An invitation to participate in God's redemptive work in the world.
That's a beautiful way to look at it.
It is.
And it makes me think of another point he makes about how suffering, while it's obviously not something we seek out, can actually draw us closer to God and deepen our faith.
I could see that.
He even shares a really personal story about his own daughter, Kirsten.
Oh, yeah.
Who has faced some really difficult challenges.
Mm.
And despite all the pain and hardship she's gone through, Dr. Maltz sees how those experiences have actually refined her faith.
It's amazing how God can work through those tough times.
Yeah, and make her more compassionate, more resilient, and more dependent on God.
It's a powerful testimony.
It is. It really is.
It reminds us that God can use even those darkest moments to shape us into the people he created us to be.
Exactly. And it also makes me think about how important community is in this whole journey.
Yeah. We're not meant to go it alone, are we?
We're not.
It takes a village.
It does.
Dr. Mounts talks about how vital it is to have that support system.
Yeah.
People who can encourage us, hold us accountable, and help us stay on track. you know, on that path of discipleship.
Like that verse in Ecclesiastes,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor.
Right.
If either of them falls down, one can help the other up.
We need each other.
We really do.
To lift each other up when we stumble.
It's about having each other's backs.
Absolutely.
Especially when things get rough.
Yeah, for sure.
So the church kind of becomes this training ground,
mm.
this support system for navigating the challenges of following Jesus in a world.
Right.
That doesn't always make it easy.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like an uphill battle.
It can.
And, you know, Dr. Mounts doesn't just leave us with the what of discipleship. He offers some really practical advice on the how.
I like that.
He reminds us that it's not about reaching some impossible standard of perfection.
Right.
It's about allowing God's grace to work in us and through us.
Yeah.
You know, empowering us to reflect his kingdom in those tangible ways.
It's a process of becoming more like Christ.
Exactly.
One step at a time.
But it's also about action, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just about having the right beliefs.
Right.
But about actually living them out.
And that's where his final point really hits home.
It does.
He challenges us to see the Sermon on the Mount, not as this insurmountable list of rules,
right,
but as this beautiful invitation.
An invitation to what?
To experience the transformative power of God's grace in our lives.
That's powerful.
It's not about earning our way into God's good graces.
Right.
It's about embracing the journey of becoming more like him. Knowing that he's with us every step of the way.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
It is. It really is. And that's kind of a great way to wrap up this deep dive. As we've explored Dr. Mounts' insights on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what stood out to you the most?
That's a good question.
Was it the reminder that language is constantly evolving and how that impacts how we understand scripture?
That was definitely a big one.
It was, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe the challenge to be rigorously honest, you know, to let our yes be yes and our no be no.
That one really convicted me.
You too.
Perhaps it was that radical call to love our enemies.
Right.
To offer grace and forgiveness, even when it feels impossible.
That's a tough one.
It is.
But so important.
Or maybe it was that reminder that true righteousness doesn't come from trying to earn it.
Right.
But from a heart that's been transformed by God's love.
Yeah, it's not about our efforts. It's about his grace.
It is.
Whatever resonated with you, I really encourage you to keep thinking about these teachings.
Me too.
Let them challenge your assumptions.
Absolutely.
And consider what it actually looks like to live them out in your day-to-day life.
In the real world.
In the real world.
And if you want to go deeper,
yeah,
I highly recommend listening to Dr. Mounts' full lecture.
Yes.
It's packed with insights.
So good.
And challenges.
Will definitely make you think.
It will.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
It has.
Until next time.
Keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.